Shalom. It's Kathleen Pearl. Shabbat is over, and the next day, well, today is September 11th, 9/11. We all remember that day. I was on my way to Israel. My plane flights were canceled for the High Holy Days. In San Francisco, United was canceled. We were given a bunch of little tickets to puddle jump through Europe. And coming through all the airports, there were these huge screens with Osama bin Laden. And I'm knowing that this is a manipulated psyop, because it couldn't have gotten it together that fast. Oh, we've got him. We're in Afghanistan. And I'm walking through thinking, you're lying. You're lying. Anyway, it started off on a rant. The Torah, the parsha readings for this week were quite good. They're sequential to last week, which is Shoftim, which is appointing judges. We need to judge ourselves. We need to rule ourselves. He who rules himself is better than he who rules the city. And in that, so it's Ki Tetzah is the weekly Torah reading. And it basically, it's the laws of justice, the Shoftim, the laws, it's not the Shoftim, that was the Torah reading for last week. But we walk it out. Every time I give a message, I go through it. So it comes, it's birthed out of the reality of what the Holy Spirit is emphasizing on a personal level. It is a personal word. It is a logos. It's a rhema word. It's a revelation that we walk in His ways. So this is called the high road, the highway. And there's a way that seemeth right unto the man, but the way thereof is destruction. And I had this vision about the high way. And there was this very narrow road in my vision. This is at least a month ago. I've been mulling it over. And there were all these people on this road. Many, many people. And you know, a majority of them, and I know the Lord is preparing me for this next season, was they were Jews. They were Jews. Secular Jews are sometimes the hardest nuts to crack. I'm telling you. No, maybe religious Jews. I don't know. Religious spirit is really difficult for me. I just go, ah! Because that's what killed Jesus, the religious spirit. Like the old snake said, hath God said? He didn't mean it. Anyway. And as I was on this road, it was crowded with all these people, and it was very narrow, and it was ascending very high. It was the highway. Okay. There's the highway of holiness. And Jesus said, you know, there aren't very many that find the way into the kingdom. Many are called, but they choose to take the broad way of demonic doctrines and teachings of men. The Holy Spirit has to work in your heart, and you must daily lay down your life before Him. You cannot see with the eyes of the natural man, or that's where you live. This highway of holiness. How do we know we're on the highway of holiness? How do we know we're on the highway? The way to heaven. There's, you know, search me, O God, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me. It's a movement. It's not a one-time thing. To acknowledge that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior are the first steps. And then we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So in this, in these readings, it goes into the civil law, which I study a lot, because these are the laws that need to govern us. These are the higher laws, not all the laws of the land, not the common laws, not Blackstone's laws, even constitutional law. This is the higher law. It's the law of God. And if you walk in these laws, it says in Revelation 12, the children of the woman that Satan was pursuing, they keep the commandments of God and faith in Yeshua. And this is how we know that we're walking with God. This is our measure, our rule, the justice laws. You can read them. You can meditate on them. I meditate on them often. As a royal priesthood, it says that the kings, which we are, we're called to, we're in training, we're being cultivated by the Holy Spirit. As we die daily, we fall into the ground and die daily, and God raises us up in the Spirit. Were being cultivated, and the kings were required, the kings of Israel, to write the Torah as the priests gave them the books. So because they judged, and they had to know how to judge, what the law said concerning civil law, concerning how to be civilized. Right? And the priests are called to instruct and differentiate between the holy and the profane. This is not a one for all, free for all. It's not that. But it's not a religious thing either. Well, you know, we tithe mint and cumin, so what? You forgot the weightier matters of mercy and justice and repentance. So my neighbor, my friend, we're very much on the same page about these things of God, the restoration of the book, the entire book, from Genesis to Revelation, the cyclical Torah. We have been blowing our shofars since the first day of Elul every night. Not in a religious sense, but in a led of the Spirit sense. Because this is the season, the 40 days before Yom Kippur, that we begin to search ourselves and come before the Lord and say, rending our hearts and saying, search me, God. The heart is deceitful above all else, desperately wicked, who can know it? But with God, nothing is impossible. But we have to seek Him. And if we seek Him, we will find Him. We'll cling to his tzitzit. That's what this is. It's called, this Torah, weekly Torah reading, is called Ki Tzitzit. It is the little, on the prayer shawl, where they, those who make it, take string and different color dyes, and they, on the four corners, they tie knots, which each knot is one of the Hebrew letters, Yahweh, the names of God, and we cling to the Yeshua's tzitzit. We come under his wings, as under his talit, under his prayer, that his intercession, his prayer covering for us. And that we are instructed that the law is the guidelines to see whether we are walking with the Lord or not. It's not our way of salvation. It's only as we come under Jesus, the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of our Lord, and walk with him as the example. Walk with him and he instructs us and guides us and leads us in the way that we should go, that we might find everlasting life. Nothing's a given. Nothing's given. Enemy is always trying to thrive. The enemy of our souls is always trying to destroy us and make wrong choices and choices that other people say. What does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God say? These instructions are for us to establish a social order. And in this section, There's 74 of the 613 commandments. So it's like half of them are for the temple, so they don't qualify because there is no temple. So there's only about really the social law and the law of kindness and mercy. If your neighbor's animals get out, you're required to get them and take care of them. And just human dealing with the carnal, the fleshy, the vessels that we are. We're still vessels. And how this should be the law being released into the government of those that we live in our community. In this country, this is not what's happening anymore. And this is the agenda of Satan, is when you have broken covenant, you open the door for Satan to come in. And the main thrust of the covenant, as we understand it, are the Ten Commandments. This is love. This is God's love. This is how I love God, the first four commandments, the next six commandments. This is how I love my neighbor. I don't steal from them. I don't bear false witness. That's a big one. Anyway, so that's just a brief. And then there's the Haftar, and then there's the new the new covenant. And in the new covenant, it especially focuses on you're so liberal in Corinthians that you there's a man who has his father's wife, okay, and he's having a sexual relationship with her. And Paul is upbraiding the church for not disciplining them, because there are certain sins, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that leaven the body of Christ, that leaven the fellowship that you're in. It brings in demonic spirits, and all of a sudden, the whole fellowship has a problem with sexual immorality, because it has not been disciplined. Or let's try greed, huh? Hey, that's a big one that isn't dealt with. Greed and drunkenness, drugs, these bring in spirits. Not that these people around me all over the place. You know, I deal with some really incredible stuff up here in relationship with people, and I've been working with them a lot because I've been doing raising up a lot of construction, trying to raise up the real temple, the people of God. No, you not. You are the temple. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that temple has to be pure. And there are different spirits that are counterfeit. And anyway, it is an issue. There are doctrines of demons. And just as one, they call this grave-sucking one. That's not God. Started with Benny Hinn, went on Catherine Coleman's grave and wanted her anointing. You don't just go and get anointings unless God leads you to and he shows you how to do it. It lines up with what? The laws of God. And I'm not talking a one-time event where I think it was Elijah threw himself over, you know, the grave of some dead guy and a prophet, and he received an anointing. In fact, the real teaching of that is that the priesthood, which was in the last teachings, that when you touch a dead person, you are defiled for 7 days, and you have to sanctify yourself. Why? Because death has a smell and it clings to you. Yes, it does. I know. Okay. So we teach the difference. So this grave-sucking thing, which is a common practice among certain groups, is actually necromancy. And familiar spirits come in and possess. You can't. It is forbidden to contact the dead. There are only one other situation in the scriptures that I can be reminded of is when King Saul went to inquire of Samuel what was going to happen. because God hadn't been talking to him because he was rebellious and disobedient. He didn't want to do what God did. Oh, I'm a people pleaser. I just do what the people want. I mean, I got to be king, you know. And he disqualified himself, and the kingdom was torn from him. And Samuel did come up because it was God's last extension, but it is not a governmental principle from Genesis to Revelation, where you see the whole council, the whole gospel. All right. That's so this way, these rods and these staff. Lord is my shepherd. His rod and his staff, they come from me. His rod is the law, the government. You're going off the road. I'm going to bring you back in with my rod and my staff. This is the good shepherd. Now, we know that I'm very excited because these days of calling is layer by layer by layer by layer by layer that God searches us. And he sifts us and he refines us and he purges us and he purifies us on the threshing floor of his fires, so that we can come and bring an acceptable offering, which is the fruit of our lips. These are our sacrifices. This is that God, that the Lord be glorified. And in this teaching, it says, you have not glorified the Lord. Well, who have you glorified? Yourself? Your ministry? No. We give glory to God. It's in the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory to come forever and ever. Amen. For yours is. For you have done all these things. You have caused your spirit. I saw you and you came and met me. And you are working to will and do your good pleasure in my life. You are the author and finisher. You are writing your words in and through me, that I might be a testimony of you. Let there be light. He spoke and the light came into the darkness and the darkness never overtook it. So praise God. This is all preparatory. God's getting us ready. He says, I want you to really see. Because when you come into Rosh Hashanah, which is September 24th on the eve, I believe, Erev. Rosh Hashanah is September 24th, and Rosh Hashanah is 3 days. And I suppose the Lord will release me to say some things about that, because I'm so excited. This is going to be so historical. It's going to be earth-shaking, because in my spirit, I feel that the Lord has shown me that Rosh Hashanah is the civil calendar where God begins to judge the nations and deal with them. And you pass under the shepherd's rod and he examines you. Have you repented? Okay, I got to deal with the sins this next year. Because there is an order. God is an orderly God. He's not random. And when chaos comes into your life, it's because the enemy is trying to destroy you. And we know that because of his love, that we can cling to his tzitzit. We can cling to, for the Lord lives. He never makes intercession for you at the altar of God. And he knows we're fragile. He knows we're frail. But to whom much has been given, much is required. And there are, if you will, you know, different levels of education and teaching and instruction. The Lord says that some of your fathers, you know, not many, you know, some of you are still with your bottles and your diapers or whatever. And some of you are becoming adolescent spiritually. Some of you young men, you know how Satan works and how to fight him. But maturity is reproductive and discipleship. And it's signature, and we must test those who say that they're fathers or apostles or whatever in the faith. We're required to test those. Read the book of Revelation and the seven churches. You need to overcome. We tested you and found that you weren't real apostles. God backs up his words with signs and wonders. And you can be on the path and fall. I've seen many ministries get off the path, having started out in the flesh, and, you know, having started out in the spirit, they ended up in the flesh. Oh, God's mercy, that we have to pray without ceasing, that it'll keep our hearts and guide us in the way. Okay, the word of the Lord. So this high road that is very narrow. And that everything that we say, every word that's in the teachings in Matthew 7, you know, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Look, if you even look at a woman and you lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. If you are angry with someone without cause, you've committed murder. Whew. Man, is there a lot of that going around? Wow. So we have to guard our inward man and keep him holy and without reproach. And yeah, thoughts come in. I mean, the enemy's always sending, you know, arrows flying and darts, trying to wound us in our heart and take us down, cause us to sin against the Lord. And yeah, we're tested. And yeah, the warfare is brutal. And the more you get into the frontline warfare, the more brutal it gets. I always search myself and think, if ISIS were, you know, beating the crud out of me, and I pick this stuff up in the spirit because I pray for these people. It's part of my burden. I sometimes go through what they're actually going through. And did I have the grace? Would I have the grace at the time to be able to go through it? Would I have the grace to have somebody, you know, be a player with your heart and your affections and not turn your heart hard and not harden your heart because they're so screwed up. And that mercy would come in and you go, okay, they're really screwed up. I'm not going to stop loving no matter what, because that's what the enemy wants me to do. He wants me to do that. And I refuse to play into his role. I refuse to play into his scenario. I refuse to go the ways of the world and the flesh and the devil. As long as I keep crying out to the Lord, Lord, you're my help. You're my refuge. You're my strength. You're in times of trouble. This is our beautiful Lord. So what is this highway? All right. I want to get prophetic about what I feel is coming up for the High Holy Days and the judging of the nations. And on Yom Kippur, it's the judging of Israel. Okay, that is the last day. That's when the last trumpet on Yom Kippur, on the Jubilee, will be blown at the close of Yom Kippur. Some people think the last trumpet's on Rosh Hashanah. Well, okay, whatever. The Jews don't even know what time it is. Do you know what time it is? Well, we've got this calendar, we've got that calendar, and we know it's in the fall. That's when the harvest is. I think it's in Revelation 11. There's two harvests. This angel sits up. There's actually three of them, but they're sitting up there. They're harvesting, and one's the Lord himself, I believe. It's Theophany. And he's harvesting the earth, and the harvest is with blood that flows to the horse's bridle. And the other is the great influx of souls coming into the kingdom. Now that great final harvest, there's a lot of conjecture over it, but it could be the 12,000 from each 12 tribes. But we know that the ingathering is happening. By the testimonies, let me tell you about Mount Gateway just real quick. Chiapas is a border state on the Mexico and Guatemala, and it is the most wicked place for drug cartels and all of that. Anyway, there's some orphanages down there, and the influx of abandoned children and rescue children has been increasing. There's also one this man has in Yucatan, Steve Fletcher, I think, Hope for something like that. And they said that the orphans, the abandoned children that are being brought to them has increased exponentially. What does that mean? Well, I would conjecture, don't have the facts, just have some inklings that the drug cartels are not, you know, able to deliver their trafficked children and are banning them. So there's been a lot of children coming into the home, you know, without family, children coming into the orphanages. But it puts a great strain on the ministries also. I mean, you got to feed them. You got to give them clothes. You got to give them a place to sleep. You know, they need medical, their dental attention. These things are real. Anyway, this one mountain gateway is down on the border. They have two, one in Nicaragua and one in Chiapas. And then the other one, according to the church that I mentioned where the immigrants are going to, you know, back east, and the move of the Holy Spirit is coming with demonstrations of power, is Honduras, which on a personal note, that's where my first husband lives. Yes, he lives with all the bad boys down in drug cartel land, and it is really wicked. It is so evil. Oh my gosh, you gotta cut the head of that snake off. So these people, there's a group of them, because ministries overlap and are interrelated, is a supportive, quote, mystical body of Jesus Christ. And I've been working interdenominationally for years, so you have to parse out who, what, where, and how. And you must always know what the person that you're related to in ministry is doing and what it looks like. We are subject and accountable to one another because of the indiscretions, and to keep each other on the right path. I mean, you know, new level, new devil. And some of you have probably heard of David Hogan's ministry. He's been working down there with these people. And the Hancocks, some other people. And there's a ministry out of Texas. And there's one in Gallup, New Mexico. And so we've been working loosely, meaning we pray, we counsel, and we sometimes support, sort of as a board of elders, but not under the political governments of 501c3. Under I know who you are, I know what your teachings and doctrines are, and I can support you because I know you well enough to do so. And I'm because the leaders have a greater accountability and teachers for what they say. Lord, help us. Lord, especially help me, because I was always a big mouth when I was younger. And it took me quite a few years in the court system to know that let your yes be yes and your no be no, because anything more could cost you $1,000. You know, and persecution levels. So this group, and you know, you try to, you know, be the resource, the working arm of the Lord, as it will, in these really difficult places, because you really can't go down there alone. You have to have support networks and financial networks for the practical provisions, etc. And you have to have maintenance. You have to have a staff. This is all this administrative stuff. So they're asking for prayer for that. But it is, and this is through my people that we talk and pray with and are working with this, and seeing God move and seeing exposure and seeing the enemy be taken down. Praise his holy name. Give God the glory. And I've never heard this. I believe this is historically unprecedented. But they have seen approximately 500 raisings from the dead. 500. 500. And this is an end time sign that the Lord is coming, and we shall be changed in the twinkling of the eye. We shall be changed. We won't have the same body. We won't have the same body of corruption that we have to deal with and put under in discipline and bring into the order of God's commands and deal with it honestly. And then we shall be with him forever. Listen, I'm practicing for the millennium. I got my own little spruce tree I sit under. I'll put a picture up. And I'll show you. I bought some pavers and put it outside. And we sit there and talk about the Lord. And I also sit there and people come to me and ask me questions and counsel about how do I handle this problem? How do I handle this situation? Anyway. Praise God, he's faithful, and we are called to serve, even our enemies. Serve those, you know, bless those who persecute you, pray for those who despitefully use you, for great is your reward in heaven. If they did it to the master, they're going to do it to you. Well, I love you, and the greatest is love. It's supernaturally empowerment from the Lord God Almighty. We cannot walk in this in the natural. We cannot. Because our flesh wants our way. We want to go fun. We want to be, you know, go back to the life of players. Let's be players. This is entertainment land. No, it's not. It's whatever you overcome, whatever you reap, you will sow. If you reap to the spiritual, you will sow eternal life. If you reap to the natural, you will receive corruption. You reap to the corrupt, it's all going to burn up in hell, basically. So I'm convicted. I'm trying to walk this out. In my little vision, I saw myself all dressed up. It felt like a little bride in linen. Very soft brown color. Very modest. And very modest, nothing opulent, nothing decadent, nothing beautiful, not the resplendent bride. She's very modest and seeking to serve and not be served. All right, Father, thank you. I feel that with all my notes and everything that you have here, this is a testimony to glorify you, that none of us arrive, you know, and we're mindful that Satan had the most exalted place in heaven and he fell because he tried to usurp your throne. And Lord, none of us have arrived until you have completed the work that you want to do in us. And Lord, Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. Jesus, the King of glory, who is perfect without sin. Lord, we love you. We thank you for these times and seasons, that they are instructions to us about how you operate. And they're your feasts. They're the feasts of the Lord. And we give you all the praise and glory and honor. God bless you. Jesus loves us. We are working to show love to our enemies. And that it not be that, you know, they not repent. Repentance is the key to the mercy seat. Shalom.